Now, 97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports, and Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency present The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Renner on the play action, looking deep. Going to go to Highsmith, leaping for the touchdown. What a grab!
Join us for the next hour of our pregame coverage as Art Chansky and internet legend Bob Lee of Bob Lee Says discuss Carolina football and all the hot topics concerning college football here in town, across the ACC, and across the country.
Still on his feet at the 30. Bernard is going to score. Oh, my goodness, what a run by Gio Bernard. The wide receiver going to throw it. The Tar Heels pick it off. Trey Boston.
The Good Sports is brought to you by the Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency, your one-stop insurance destination right here in the southern part of heaven. Let the Seagrove's Insurance Agency take care of you. Seagrovesinsurance.com. Now, page two of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage.
Heels with the lead. Another handoff to Bernard. He's into the secondary. Goodbye.
The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Hello, this is Art C. And last week I was sure the Heels would win. Today, I'm not so sure.
This is Bob Lee. It's Carolina versus State. 8 billion Chinese may not care, but 60,000 fans in Kenan Stadium sure do.
Next from WCHL Championship Sports, it's time for The Good Sports. Art C.
That's me.
And Bob Lee.
That's me.
And I'm Ron Stutz. Today's Good Sports with Bob Lee and Art C. is coming to you live from Southern Season at University Mall in Chapel Hill as we count down to the Tar Heels game with the Wolfpack of North Carolina State. Good afternoon, Good Sports. What do you think?
Well, Ron and Bob Lee, I think I'm looking forward to a great game. But before that, I'm looking forward to our guests, our old Carolina State rival defenders, David Bomar and Terrence Holt, who played in this game and know all about it. And then I'm looking forward to seeing if the Heels can snap this dastardly 5-game losing streak to the Wolfpack.
Art, this is Larry Fedora's first Carolina State game. But you and I and our special guest have plenty of memories.
Well, we do, and the last 5 years haven't been fun because I've heard you guys talking on the early part of the show about how Carolina at least had as good a team, if not a better team. You know, they went to 4 straight bowl games during those years. They were favored in most of the games. They probably had better personnel on the field. But something happened in every one of those games. I remember the last second loss in Raleigh a few years ago, and then last year when State got all fired up by comments that Evett Withers said unwittingly in the pregame press conference about Carolina being the flagship. Not exactly the right time to bring up the flagship statement, but
Chansky. Wait a minute.
But TOB came back with a great triple threat. You know, I mean, he had 24 hours to prepare it. So,
Art, before we get into today's game, right, I think we need to discuss the bad Saturday at the Wally. We got to bury that one here at Halloween.
Well, I guess you're right. And again, Carolina did not deserve to win the game. But while they were there, while they had it, they should have gone ahead and won it, because you can't play only one quarter and win a game. But, you know, it was one drive, one stop, and then when you think about 3 games, total losses by 9 points, Carolina really – we could be sitting here today 8-0. But you can look at NC State now. You know, they also could be, you know, they could be 3-4. They actually could be 6-1 as well. So,
well, certainly we saw last week and the 2 losses that we had before that with to Louisville and to Wake Forest how much Gio Bernard means to this team. It's Gio, and I won't say Gio and the 10 Dwarfs, but Gio Bernard, it's just a Gio Bernard's team. We go as well as Gio Bernard is going, and he's gone real, real good for a number of games. And, of course, his incredible play last week where he caught the fumble and did a flip in midair and whatnot and scored. I mean, that was just a vintage Gio Bernard that we've come to expect from him.
Well, he wrote a couple of symphonies while he was scoring that touchdown, too, while he was running into the end zone.
Yeah, but not only you know, the fact that he did it, the fact that he was there. I mean, here's a guy who starts off behind the line of scrimmage when the play is, and it's a pass. And who the heck runs 50 yards down a field chasing a play that really has nothing to do with him, but it had everything to do with him because he kept the Duke player from recovering the fumble, and he jumped on it and scored. And
Who does the unbelievable right, Gio Bernard?
And if we had won that game, that would have gone down, really, in the annals of Carolina football, probably one of the 10 greatest players in the history of football at the school. But you know what? It'll be forgotten in a little while because we didn't seal the deal.
But it's unusual in the scheduling gods who put this one together that we've got our two back-to-back backyard rivalries back-to-back. The two games that arguably are the most important regular season games in terms of rivalry. May not in terms of national rankings or whatnot year by year, but Duke and Carolina, with Wake Forest being a distant third, are the two games that Carolina fans circle on their calendar, and here they are back-to-back.
One more word, Bob Lee, about what did you think? There's been opinions all over the place, you know, from the barbershop to the internet, about what did you think of Shaquille Rashad's so-called cheap shot and Connor Vernon, and then Brian Moore's chop block and Tim Jackson? You know, they were the YouTube rages all week. There wasn't a penalty call on either of them. Of course, you know, Rashad got suspended for a game, and two of the refs got bounced for a week.
Well, I was there, yeah. And as were you, as were about 40,000 other people. I think the entire alumni base of Duke University was there, including old James Buchanan Duke. I think he came out of the grave, and he was there cheering on, good old Coach Cutcliffe, hot almighty, we're going to a bowl, hot dog. But anyway, I did not see the play until I saw it on – I did not see it live. I mean, I was looking at it, but I didn't see it when we got Connor Vernon supposedly cold-cocked him with a tire iron or whatever it was. We mauled him on the on that play. I saw it on YouTube, and it didn't look good. But it's like T.A. McClendon's goal line play here in 2005 or 4. Depends on who you are looking at it. If you look at it with partisan eyes, you saw him sneak up behind him and hit him with a tire iron. Otherwise, you see Connor Vernon stick his foot out to trip Rashid. So it's a typical rivalry perspective.
You know, here's a couple of points about that. You know, we've had some academic problems at this school, but we don't have anybody on our team that's stupid, you know, to run out and knock over a wide receiver before the ball is snapped. And you know what? I love Bubba Cunningham's statement when the suspension came down. And what he said was, how can you suspend a player without coming over to Chapel Hill and speaking to him and getting his side of the story? Because, as you said, you look at that film. I looked at it 20 times. Rashad lowered his shoulder at one point, but that's a defense mechanism a lot, you know.
Well, I think Johnny Swafford just called Pat Pride and asked for their opinion.
Well, probably.
They said he ought to be suspended, and so Johnny Swafford just did it because, you know, he's always laying for Carolina.
Well, I mean, it was an unfortunate thing that happened, but it was a non-starter because Connor Vernon, you know, the medical staff ran out and blah, 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 but he came back and he basically won the game for Duke on that last drive. He's a great receiver, all ACC
These
receiver.
Wes Welker types, like the kid at Wake Forest, and now we got another Wes Welker type. We don't do well with these little across-the-middle Wes Welkers.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, to me it looked like it was a total accident. He ran into the guy. I don't think he would have done it on purpose. I mean, but that's under the bridge. What about the other play that did not get called?
Well, you know, that was Brian Moore and Tim Jackson, and that was a play that is really a controversial play in football now. It's called a chop block. It's blocking below the knees. And the real play that you can't do is when one player is blocking another player and has him so-called engaged, and then another offensive player comes and takes his legs out. Now, that's clearly an illegal. You can get thrown out of the game or suspended for that. In this case, Brian Moore was continuing the block on Tim Jackson, and players are taught, keep blocking till the whistle blows. And he got Jackson turned around to the point where if he hit him at that point, he was going to hit him low in the back of the knee, and that's exactly what happened. And Jackson, you know, we can talk about this later. Jackson is supposed to be injured for 2 or 3 weeks because Fedora said that at his press conference on Monday. But when Kevin Best's injury report came out yesterday, Tim Jackson's name wasn't on it. So, Bob Lee, is Larry Fedora being a little Bill Belichickian with his injury reports?
Stutz, does he get the word Belichickian in every week? Does he just out of the blue, he just says Belichickian?
I'm surprised
I'm
he didn't
start doing my Ricky Prohl stuff again.
I'm surprised he didn't wear a gray sweatshirt here today with his sleeves ripped off.
I got
Listen,
my hoodie.
I think hoodie enough of our opinions. I think we need to get the opinions of some real gladiators who have been down on the in the arena on this rivalry, and we've got two of them coming up. We've got two actual gladiators who have worn the red and worn the blue and understand that it is a blood feud between the lines. So we've got them coming up next.
Blood feud on the way. WCHL, Bob Lee said it. I didn't. Blood feud. It's red and it's blue, and it's happening today in Kenan Stadium, and you will hear it on WCHL. This is The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee on WCHL. Our pregame coverage always presented by Nationwide Insurance Agency, Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency in Chapel Hill, where it's Southern Season, University Mall. We'll be back with more on the Wolfpack and the Tar Heels after this.
This is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin, and we're still here. The last few years have been, shall we say, a challenge, but honestly, this year has been a turnaround, not just for us, but for the real estate market in general. Don't get me wrong, this is still a tough environment for housing.
It is, but our agents really know what they're doing. They have the resources they need, they persevere, and they're not afraid to tell you the truth. Our reputation for having a long-term perspective and a dogged commitment to getting the job done keeps us ranked among the top 20 firms in the Triangle.
And among the very top in Chapel Hill. We often tell you what to do, how we do it, and why you should call us if you need a realtor. We want to introduce you to the rest of Franklin Street Realty, who you'll be hearing from in the coming months.
Go to franklinstreetrealty.com, look for houses, and check out our agents. You'll find former restaurateurs, teachers, counselors, tennis players, even a midwife. You might be surprised at who we are or were.
Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
Is your free checking account costing you money? If you are required to maintain an average balance or inconvenienced by limited transactions, you should visit Harrington Bank. When Harrington Bank says free, we mean free. Free personal checking, free business checking, no lengthy requirements. Experience true community banking, where everyone knows your name and it doesn't cost you to bank with us. To learn more, visit one of our three convenient locations in Southern Village, Farrington Road, or Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
I'm Edward Holmes, CEO of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. If your morning includes a stop at the coffee shop, we invite you to try our premium coffees without the wait at Cruiser's. Our Chapel Hill North store is now serving lattes, mochas, and cappuccinos featuring locally roasted coffee from Larry's Beans. Get them hot or cold and add a shot of chocolate, vanilla, or caramel. Pick up a fresh baked biscuit, pastry, or muffin, and you'll be sure to start your day right. Join us for real coffee, real quick, at Cruiser's in Chapel Hill North.
Cruiser's. Good to go.
A back to either side of Renfrey, who is in that short shotgun. One of the backs is Shaquille Powell, and goodness gracious, ow! Josh Sneed received the handoff, and he was powled down by Jabari Price with a huge hit at the line of scrimmage. Whoa!
This is Bob Lee. I'm here with Art C. We're at Southern Seasons, and we have two very, very special guests with us today on Carolina State Day. We have two former Warriors of the two opposing schools today. We have Terrence Holt, famous defensive back and a member of the Holt Brothers of NC State, and we have yet another Bomar. We have David Bomar, who is his own hero in his own mind and in my mind of a Carolina State rivalry. Terrence, glad to have you with us, sir.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Now, Terrence, if y'all weren't 5-0, would you go on with us?
you know, it may have been a little bit tougher, but no, I would have took the plunge. I can make the case for our school anytime versus North Carolina, so I would have had no problem.
You know David, and we'll have David on in just a second with the two of you together. But the two of you are unique in that you both grew up in this area. When you were kids, long before you knew where you were going to go to school and what jerseys you were going to wear, you grew up in the Greensboro area. David grew up in Durham. As a kid growing up, did you imagine you would be playing in the Carolina State game as you did for 4 years?
No, I wasn't sure, to be honest with you. I dreamed big dreams as a kid, but those dreams didn't necessarily say me in a state uniform or me in a Carolina uniform. I didn't know quite sure where I would go. I just knew I wanted to go to college, and I wanted to play on a high level, and I wanted to play in the pros. I just wasn't sure how it was going to happen. And to be honest with you, I was a basketball guy coming up and thought I was going to play professional basketball and play college basketball somewhere. So to be honest with you, no, my dreams didn't. The dreams I dreamed didn't necessarily tell me I was going to be in this rivalry or going to be playing football.
Well, Terrence, this is Art C., and we thank you again for being with us. And standing right here live is one of your old warriors, co-defenders from the late 1990s, David Bomar. Dave, thank you very much for joining us. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the famous 1999 game in Charlotte, which I know is a bright spot for your career. And
Terrence, you can listen to this or tune this out, but David is going to tell the goal line play again.
I'm going to, you know, with this political race, I'm going to do a lot of fact checking. I'm going to make sure everything sounds like it happened.
Cut off Terrence's mic, and Bomar gets to describe the goal line play.
We set the stage there because it was 1999, and you guys went into the game at 1-8 with a lot of fire around Coach Carl Torbush.
We did. Hey, Terrence, good talking to you, man.
Good to talk to you,
glad
too.
You're here. Yeah, man, they have a lot of fun over here, that's for sure. So that game was a big game for us. We'd just come off of a bowl game the year before, which we actually won our last game to become bowl eligible against NC State, which your brother.
These were the back-to-back Charlotte games.
That's right. Yeah. And
Nay Brown touchdown pass, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And Terrence's brother Tory had a big game that game. I think we were up by 21, and he helped bring him back, and we ended up winning in overtime and going to a bowl game. So. That was good.
And but give us the play. Give
the
us
play.
The play.
He's building. He's leading up to it. He's creating dramatic buildup here.
I want to hear it. I want to hear it. Yeah.
10-6, fourth quarter. I think they start on the their own six yard line and drive 90 something yards. First and goal from, I think, our four. Terrence, you're going to have to fact check me on that. But we made a couple of plays. Third down, we had a big stop and backed them up, and then. Fourth down, they had a penalty, brought them back up to like the 4 yard line, fourth and goal, 2 minutes to go, something like that, and they ran a little crossing pattern. We were playing man to man, had good pressure on the quarterback, and he got the ball off, and Errol Hood made a great tackle, and I came in at the end to make a play. So.
Yeah, and you literally stopped him from going over the goal line and winning the game, correct?
And the name David Goal Line Bomar was forever etched in the annals.
Thanks to Bob Lee. Bob Lee.
Exactly.
How'd I do, Terrence?
You done pretty good. I was just going to say I was going to fill in, but I didn't want to interrupt you. Jamie Barnett, and it was that threw the ball, the quarterback, and it was Chris Coleman that whom you guys both sort of tackled, and you nudged him. I remember. Looking at like all he needed was for you not to be there or not to tackle him in the way that you tackled him, which was an excellent tackle, but to be able to lunge forward and put the ball over top of the goal line and would have propelled us, I think, into a bowl. I think we were looking to be bowl eligible with that win, but we didn't get it. I think we were going to be going to Hawaii or somewhere, some bowl we were going to be going to and looking forward to, but you guys stopped us and you literally stopped us from going to that bowl.
What actual years did you wear the red and white?
I wore the red and white 98 actually through 2002. I was redshirted my first year 1998, and in 99 I was playing sparingly, a lot of special teams, and I broke into the lineup a little bit the latter part of that season, but really broke out. And started from 2000 to 2002.
And you were recruited by Mike O'Kane.
I was. I was recruited by Mike O'Kane. Robbie Caldwell was at my school, just seems like just about every week, trying to get me to come on down. And he had recruited my brother, and he recruited that area and recruited players like Brian Williams, who played with me at NC State and went on to play in the pros. Adrian Wilson, who now is playing for Arizona Cardinals, but all up in that same area, recruited all of us guys from that particular area. He was a great recruiter, great guy, and he was who sort of curtailed me into going to state.
Terrence are here not to bring up any more painful memories, but I want to set the scenario. You know, those were two games, controversial games, because they were taken off the two campuses and moved to what was then Erickson Stadium, I guess, in Charlotte, back to back. The year before, Bob Lee just talked about losing a very dramatic game on a beautiful Saturday afternoon where literally every seat in the stadium was full. It was almost like the Texas-Oklahoma game because half the stadium was red, half the stadium was blue. Great game, going down to the last minute, and you guys lose in overtime. Now, the next year, you've got to go to Charlotte feeling that you're going to avenge that loss. I mean, Carolina is terrible. They're 1-8. There's all kinds of storm around Coach Carl Torbush. They had lost all these quarterbacks to the point where Dominique Williams, a converted defensive back, was playing quarterback for the Tar Heels.
Running back.
Quarterback. He was converted to play quarterback right. Those last two games. So when you go into that game, you got to think, this is easy pickings here. We're going to avenge last year's loss and win the game. So take us back to what you were feeling before that game and during the game. When it became a lot tougher than you thought it would be?
Well, we never, you know, in this rivalry, I think both of us understand that, you know, you can throw out the records. None of that really matters when it's a State Carolina game. It's going to be a tough game, and we knew that. We knew that going in. We knew that we'd probably face a tougher opponent if they would be them being 8-1, just because they wouldn't be taking us for granted, and this would be their bowl game for the particular year. This would be, you know, the state's bragging rights, and we were going to get their best. And they had some misfortune throughout the year, but if, you know, everything rode on this particular game was sort of the perspective we were taking in. So we knew we were going to get their best punch, but we thought if we played the game like we knew how to play it, we thought the odds would be in our favor. And that we could win it, and we had a lot on the line. I think going to a bowl game, and you know, I just felt from the way we prepared that everyone knew what we had to do, planned to do what we had to do, and just fell short. I mean, it literally fell short by, you know, by an inch, and a great tackle by David. But you know, that was our approach going into the game. You know, Coach had prepared us. I think there was a lot of speculation around Coach O'Kane's job during this time. But like I said, guys were just prepared to play for him, prepared to play for us getting to a bowl game, and knew it was Carolina that we were going to be facing, and look forward to the game and look forward to, you know, that matchup in Charlotte. Because as you mentioned, you know, the year before, I mean, that was the greatest – probably sight I've ever seen in terms of a ball game, where it was literally half and half, blue and red. I mean, it was just split down the middle of the stadium. I mean, it was the most impressive thing. It was the greatest of days in terms of the weather, and the game ended up being that way. I remember us struggling in the first half, and me getting on my brother because I was on the sideline about how he was playing against Dre Bly, which, you know, all of that was in that matchup in 98. And I remember getting on him and telling him, play the way you play, man. I mean, you're slipping around here, you're falling around here, and this guy's really having a really good game against you. And, you know, things just turned around, and he ended up playing well and getting us back in the game. And Nate Brown, who was a Reeseville guy who grew up in my particular neighborhood, we played Reeseville in high school, Easton Guilford did. And he ended up making running a post corner route and catching the ball and winning the game in overtime versus one of my best friends to this day, Lloyd Harrison, who was an All-American and went on to play in the National Football League as well. So
I got a question for you that's really going to test your Wolfpack loyalty. Several weeks ago, a Saturday night in Carter Stadium, halftime, Wolfpack down 16-0 to Florida State. Were you in the stadium? I was.
I was on the sideline, so yes.
You were on the sideline.
Oh, yes.
16-0. What did you think was going to happen in the second half of that game?
Well, I thought I thought that it was going to go one of two ways. I thought that Coach was going to go in and speak to the fellas about what they needed to do. I thought we were going to either come out with a great deal of energy and play well, speed up the tempo on Florida State, and get some defensive stops, or Florida State is going to and we're going to have a drive to respond. If we don't respond, it's going to get ugly. That was my brother and I were on the sideline talking about this, and we were surprised that during the first half that we had gotten some breaks. We got the field goal, I think, right there at the end of the half where they had a chance to take the lead to, you know, 19-0, 23-0. But we were able to stop them on a big sack, I think, by Johnson there when they were in the red zone. And I think that I thought that to be a pivotal play. But we didn't have any energy in the first half. And we were under – my brother and I were sort of trying to get the guys going because they were playing as if they were down 23 or 30 to nothing, where it was, you know, a two-possession game still at that point. And so I had the – my brother and I had the thought that we're either going to come out with some energy, play faster, play better, get after Florida State, stop that run. Thompson was having a heck of a game that particular game. Or it's going to get ugly. Florida State
Terrence,
is going to score.
I'm going to cut you off now because it's going to get too painful for us to hear now about what happened. So we know what happened. So I'm going to cut you off, and we're going to go to David Bomar and try and get us back into the atmosphere of that game because
we let you brag long enough,
yeah,
Terrence. Come on, this is a Carolina station.
In 1999, there was all kinds of turmoil around the Carolina program, David, but did you still feel that there was something to be salvaged by having your last two games against State and Duke?
Definitely, just like Terrence was saying, I think any season, look at those two games. I think for me, State especially is a game amongst all others. It's one you circle on your schedule, and you know, when it comes that week, it's all about taking care of business. And for us, that was our biggest game of the season. So.
Off the field stuff with Torbush and, you know, with the quarterback situation and all that, I mean, was that a distraction? How can you still get focused and get ready for that game to do what you have to do?
You just lace them up and you got something to play for. You know, that's the way that you resolve, you know, some of those things that are going on. You go out there and win. And fortunately for us, we did. We went out and won. Kept our coach for another year, and you know, things were looking good.
And then the other two coaches that Terrence referred to that recruited him, O'Kane and Robbie Caldwell, ended up coming 28 miles to the west and were at Carolina for a year or so, weren't they?
Yep, that was interesting, seeing them walk in December. You know, normally look over
would
there.
Would have been nice if they'd brought Terrence with them.
It would have been. I don't know why they didn't. Terrence should have brought you over, man.
Well, David, with the limited offense that we had playing playing sort of a makeshift quarterback, was there particular pressure on the defense to hold the score down for the Wolfpack so you could stay in the game?
I think so. You know, our whole offense kind of went out the window when Curry got hurt. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we had, you know, got to give Dominique Williams some credit. He was playing running back, I think, that year, and came over and learned how to play quarterback. I don't know how you do that in the course of a couple games, but he was able to go out there and call plays and, you know, put some points on the board, and, you know, it was on us to try and keep him out of the end zone.
And the next week, somehow he just emerged as a star quarterback because we just beat Duke 38-0.
That's
he was
right.
A star.
That's
so,
right.
So, Terrence, Bob Lee, you can learn, maybe you can't, but some people can learn how to play quarterback in 2 weeks.
Oh, quarterback. It's an overrated position. Everything revolves around the deep snapper. Terrence, I know you've got to run. We appreciate very much your time and your comments. Before we go, you get to make a prediction, but realize you're on a Carolina show, and we're going to get the last word, but you get to give Terrence Holt's prediction on what the score is going to be about 3 o'clock this afternoon.
3 o'clock this afternoon, I foresee the score being 21-17. State wins, holds Carolina out of the end zone on a last-minute scoring drive, but we win 21-17 is my prediction for this game.
Listen, Terrence, I got to tell you, I don't know whether you remember this or not. I've gotten word from Johnny Swafford, who you know works for us. As a good State guy, you know we've got our connection with Swafford. Jim Knight is coming back to be today's referee, Terrence.
Oh, wow.
Now, you know I'm kidding. All the State fans listening are convinced that I just told the truth, and they are going nuts now. Terrence, thank you very, very much for being with us. Give our regards to Tori, and also a big thanks to Don Shea, who got in touch with you for us and got you on. And let's have a good game today. And, of course, nobody gets hurt.
We'll be back in a little while.
Thanks, Terrence.
A little bit.
Talking to you, Terrence.
All right, thanks for having me.
A little bit with more from.
Good talking to you.
Great. from David Bomar with the Good Sports Run. Take us away.
Yeah, the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee, WCHL. We'll continue live from Southern Season at University Mall. Our pregame coverage always brought to you by the Seagroves Nationwide Insurance Agency. And we'll be back in just a moment on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
We all know you'd do anything to watch the Tar Heel basketball team. So what would you do to watch the Tar Heels in Maui, Hawaii this November at the 2012 Maui Invitational? All you have to do is visit one or all of our 24 sponsor locations and enter each and every week between now and November 4th. Each week we'll draw finalists from each location. That means you could be a finalist more than once to increase your chances at winning this great trip for two. You can also enter by simply going to chapelbro.com every week, where we'll also draw a finalist each week. Last but not least, you can be one of our finalists by listening in and calling when you hear the cue to the WCHL morning, afternoon, and evening news. Make sure you visit all 24 of our sponsor locations to enter, including Glass Half Full, Great Outdoor Provision, Harrington Bank, Home Watch Caregivers, Jersey Mike's, Louise Beck Properties, and Mama Dips, and the rest of the 24 sponsor locations all listed on chapelbro.com. Eat, drink, and be Maui with the Tar Heels at 97.9 FM WCHL.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Spa Massage by Christine. It's 56% off. $80 for a one-hour massage, available today only for $35. Christine worked at a massage chain for 4 years, where she performed around 5,000 massages to rave reviews. She decided to venture out on her own, and her new company, Spa Massage by Christine, is based on the belief that each client's needs are of the utmost importance. You can buy up to 3 vouchers, each good for a one-hour massage. So treat yourself or use them as gifts for the holidays. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com. Deal.com.
Uniquely qualified to cover Carolina, 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Hi, I'm Scott Maitland, proprietor of Top of the Hill. Top of the Hill helped forge the North Carolina microbrewing renaissance, and we are now proud to lead the state in micro distilling. Our organic Topo vodka is handcrafted from scratch in our Franklin Street distillery using only local organic soft red winter wheat. Ask for it in your local ABC store and find establishments everywhere. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, or the web, topodistillery.com. Drink local, drink Topo vodka, the spirit of North Carolina. Cheers!
Pressure coming. Renfrey over the middle. Intercepted by Trey Boston. Carolina gets the turnover, and the Heels will have it first and 10 at the 7-yard line.
All right, we're back now with the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee, broadcasting live from Southern Season at University Mall in Chapel Hill. I'm Rod Stutz, and once again, here is Art Chansky.
Hey, back on the Good Sports with Bob Lee, and our special guest is David Bomar, is going to be with us for a couple of minutes. David, you know, having not played football since Biddy Ball, I want to know what is it like to be in the locker room getting ready for a game like this? I mean, what are you feeling like when you get the uniform on and ready to go and you go out to warm up and then you go back and then you're taking the field for the final time and your arch rival is on the other sideline? What are the feelings, and then how do you let those feelings go and just get on with the game?
I think before the game, you prepare just like you do any other game. You know, you're preparing to go to war, and you strap them up and lace them up and get your mind right. But I think when you come out of the tunnel for warm-ups, you see that that red in the stands, and it hits you, and you know that there's a little bit something extra for this game. And you go out there and you fight and claw and you try and come out on top.
And as a former player that you've waited for this game all week, was it an anxious week for you? I know it was for a lot of Carolina fans.
I think you just look forward to it. You know, you got a chance to go out in front of everybody and prove what you're worth, and do it beating somebody that you want to beat all year long.
Now, Ron, I got a question. Ron, you are the official historian for the Good Sports, right? You go back to the archives of the Good Sports.
Yeah, I'm not as old as you guys, but
the long history of this program, the Good Sports program, is David the first guest that we've had whose father and father-in-law preceded him as guest on this show?
I believe he is. That's an amazing distinction.
I mean, this is lightning in a bottle. Not only has David's father, Gail Bomar, was our guest last week, but several weeks ago, David's father-in-law, number 23 from Garden City, Long Island, Don McCauley, was our guest. that your dad and dad-in-law, and now you're here. Is this a proud moment for you, goal line?
It's a proud moment. They set the bar high. I hope I'm keeping up.
Well, now,
from what
I got
heard,
a question
they
for
did
you.
A, did
I got
a pretty good job.
All right.
Don't feel any pressure now.
Enough publicity for McCauley and Gail Bomar. Now, for you, it's been 5 years. We all know we're 0-5. In those 5 years since we last beat NC State, what has happened in your life?
Wow. A lot of wonderful things. Successful
a couple
business.
Of small
yes,
events in your
yes,
life
small
since,
events,
since Carolina beat State.
Got engaged to a beautiful wife, beautiful young lady who became my wife 4 years ago, just a couple weeks ago, and had a son, had a daughter. So there's been quite a few things been going on since the last time we beat
you
State.
You got started in your business. Well, you yep, work with your yep, dad yep. in that. Go ahead and plug your business.
Fordham Group and Morgan Stanley Wealth Management.
Okay. If you got any money you want to spend with somebody, David Bomar is the man to see.
There you go.
All right.
So the point being, life goes on.
Life right? does go on. Things do happen, even while you're suffering the agony of having lost to one of your big rivals who maybe lives in the cul-de-sac with you. That's the real thing about this rivalry. It is a cul-de-sac rivalry. Now, Chapel Hill is – there are not a whole lot of State fans that live in Chapel Hill. I mean, Stutch, you know this town. Do you know a lot of State fans over? Do you see State flags flying from the mailboxes in Chapel Hill?
Not a lot of them, no.
They're not up for very long.
There are a few of them at work.
I could tie in some political jokes with this, but I'm going to move right along and say we don't have many State flags here. But in your business, you live in Cary. Used to live in Cary, so you have clients who are all over. How many State alum clients do you have, David Bomar?
So far, personally, I've got a few, but we've got four other partners and a pretty good mix. We've got two East Carolina graduates and a North Carolina State graduate. So. Keep it civil, and it gets interesting during game weeks when we're playing each other.
No Duke people.
Chansky, if you had money to invest, would you give it to an East Carolina guy to invest for you?
I'd give it to David Bomar if I had money to invest. But David, before we let you go, we want to get your prediction on this game. And you know, Terrence had his time frame wrong because he said by 3 o'clock it's going to be 21-17 State. Well, at 3 o'clock it's still going to be early in the fourth quarter. So even if it's 21-17 State early in the fourth quarter, there's still the rest of the fourth quarter to play. So what's your prediction for the final score today?
Final score, 35-27, Tar Heels on top. Get the offensive mojo going again. Gio's going to have a good game, and we're going to find a way to shut them down on defense.
Yeah, I agree. We'll talk about it later, Bob Lee, but I think Carolina's got to score a lot of points today because we know State's going to move
now,
the football.
David, I know your season tickets used to be in the end zone there by the Keenan Football Center, East or West, whatever, what right. I call the T.A. McClendon end zone.
Right.
Were you in that end zone that night?
I was not. I was actually.
Pretend you were. Did he score?
He did not score.
There
definitely
you go.
Not. Definitely not.
That's the way I remember it, didn't you, Chansky?
Absolutely, too.
You all got. He didn't score.
Even though they took the points
off
the
screen. I think both knees touched the ground.
Exactly. David, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate your willingness to come on with this co-patriot of mine here.
And David, just between you and I, you did a better job than your dad did.
Well, I'll be sure to tell him that.
I'm sure he's listening.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been fun. Go Heels.
Go get to the stadium, get your family together, and let's cheer on a big win today. Let's break this streak.
Say hello to your dad and to Don as well.
We'll do it. Right. Thanks a bunch.
This is the Good Sports with Art C and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Stutz, and we're broadcasting live. Our pregame coverage always presented by Ted Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency on WCHL at Southern Season and University Mall. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Wolfpack and the Tar Heels coming up.
Southern States Volkswagen of Durham is having their biggest sale of the year. Every model is on sale, and now is the time to buy your new Volkswagen. Take up to $2,500 off the 2012 Volkswagen Passat or get 0% for up to 72 months. With these deals, there's just one thing you ought to know. There's only one place you'll ever buy a car from again. Southern States Volkswagen of Durham. Based on stock number W8595. Includes all rebates, 0% on approved credit.
If you're a woman looking for prenatal care, you should know about UNC Family Medicine. They know how important your pregnancy, birth experience, and first years of your child's life are to you and to your family. And now they offer group care, social support, and parenting classes for new parents. Young families are choosing UNC Family Medicine for excellent care offered for prenatal, postpartum, well baby, and well child care. UNC Family Medicine, caring for the course of your life. For more information, visit uncfamilymedicine.org.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the difference. At Duke Integrative Primary Care, our expert physicians, trained in the very best medicine has to offer, partner with you to combine conventional medicine and whole person care so you can live each day in the best possible health. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Only minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all and now accepting insurance. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life.
And it's a big rivalry game. That's been pointed out to me since the first handshake when I took the job. Like I've said before, it's what makes college football so great. It's the fans and the pageantry, the regional rivalries, and this is a big game.
We're back now at Southern Season University Mall in Chapel Hill. It's Ron Stutzan. You're listening to The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. Carolina's basketball team had an exhibition win over Shaw last night, 81-54. And so that's a good start for the Tar Heel basketball team. And a couple of quick things before we go back to the guys here. You can still enter the Eat, Drink, and Be Maui with the Tar Heels contest. Go to our website, get all the details. It's brought to you by WCHL and chapelboro.com. We have all the details there. We have also an opportunity for you to see all the sponsor locations, 24 different sponsor locations. And also we have your opportunity to still get involved in the greatest football player of all time at Carolina. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Right now, let's go back to Bob Lee and Art Chamsky.
Hey, okay, we're back at Southern Season, and now we're going to concentrate on today's game because, really, it's critical in so many ways. You know, the Tar Heels, of course, are undefeated at home. They're 1-3 on the road, but they're only 9 points from being 8-0 at this point. And, you know, you watch Louisville and Cincinnati last night. That game went back and forth, and Louisville pulls out another one, and they're 8-0. So that's the way college football has gone this season. Bob Lee, today Carolina is a 7-point favorite. How is that? Because they're playing at home? What is the reason for that?
Well, that bumfuzzled me. I was surprised at that. I think that's another trick by the people at the News and Observer. I don't know how. I mean, you know, if we had come out of the Wally like you and I thought we would, it was just a matter of how bad we were going to beat them. And of course, we talked about that. Didn't go quite the way we thought it was. I don't know how when they've had we both had quality wins, although the Virginia Tech win isn't as quality as we thought it was because I think Old Dominion beat them last week or whatever. But their beating of Florida State was, fluke or not, one single play, it still was they beat Florida State, and that's a big deal.
All right, so let's talk about scenarios today. There's a lot of ramifications for this game. There's going to be one segment of this state that's going to be very unhappy after this game's over. One segment is going to be very, very happy. So let's do some scenarios. Suppose UNC wins. What does that mean for the Tar Heels?
Well, you referred obliquely earlier. Obliquely, you like that word?
I like it.
That there have been some other issues going around Carolina athletics over the last year or so, particularly in the last few weeks, few months. A win today, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, doesn't make all that go away. There's still not reason for Carolina fans to be back on the top of the world screaming the Carolina way, yahoo. But a win today kind of sure helps us a little bit. It puts a Band-Aid on a hemorrhage that we've been having over here for a while, all of which was deserved, none of which was deserved, whatever. That's a discussion for another day. But a win today, particularly after last week, will help quite a bit, if only for the short term, before we have to face some other realities.
Stutz? Well, you know, it's a boom or bust, really, because if you win, Fedora is 0-2 in the Tobacco Road right now. He's lost at State. He's lost at Duke. So a win here, he becomes a hero to Tar Heel Nation. His I believe his team goes on, finishes 9-3. When you look at the standings, Bob Lee, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that if you look at the Coastal Division standings, if Carolina wins today, I think they win out, and then I think they win the Coastal Division.
Swafford says don't say
Well, I think they finish first in the Coastal Division with a 6-2 record by two games.
Do we get to hang a banner with the, along with the Helms Award?
Really, I'm
for
serious.
That?
I mean, look, if you look at the Coastal standings, it's all bunched up. Everybody's beating everybody else. If Carolina wins today, they're going to win the Coastal by two games. But if they lose, then to me, that's, you know, you have to worry about Carolina's psyche for the last three games of the season. There would be really nothing left to play for without the bowl game. What it also means is more pomposity for TOB, who, like I said earlier, really thinks he has a better program at a better school. And we just can't take that anymore. I'm tired of that.
I said that after the second loss.
I said that
after the third loss. I'm just kind of going to wait and see and hope that we do pull it out. I do have fond memories of the T.A. McClendon game. I remember exactly where I was when that all came down. And a lot of other state wins we've had over state. For the state fans, you know, if they lose today, you and I have been around state people long enough. You know, the first thing they're going to do is blame it on the refs. The second thing they're going to do is blame it on John Swofford. I mean, that's going to happen in the first 10 seconds of the end of the game. And then they're going to say, okay, it's 1-5 over the last 6 years. And then they're going to go right into the other stuff, the off-the-field stuff we've been dealing with. So they're not going to linger very long over a loss today. They're going to, because that's the way they are. They're real quick to find something else to think about. Not to say that our fans aren't either, but it's an interesting dynamics of all the stuff that's going on now that is a whole lot more than just the game on the field. But, man, it sure would help to for this to be a blue day.
But a loss by Carolina today would give the North Carolina State faithful a lot more ammunition.
Oh, absolutely. And plus, I mean, I look at it internally. You know, Eric Montrose once said that did they win the 1993 national championship in reaction to Duke going back-to-back in 91 and 92. And he said, everybody thinks that, but no, we were worried about our team. I'm worried about our program. If we don't win this game today, I'm worried about the Heels, young kids, Fedora getting them up and packing it in, and maybe finishing 6-6, because I know we're not going to lose at Virginia. But if we lose today, we could finish 6-6, and that's not the kind of season we want. So that's why this is such a fulcrum game. Fulcrum, good word, Bob Lee, fulcrum. It's a fulcrum game.
I think he's running for a Congress in the 3rd District.
And if we win it, we really can go on and still do some great things. So,
but you know, Art, you and I have been big Fedora fans from day one, and we still are big Fedora fans. But we are kind of special because we really know this stuff. The average fan, you could sense a few of them sort of jumping off the bandwagon or maybe
who's
putting
we? Who's we?
There's a mouse in my pocket here, you know. But anyway, we're loyal Fedorians. We're hardcore Fedorians. Stutz is a loyal Fedorian. So we're going to be with him. We didn't expect last week. Some fans, you think there might be some fans, some of the old Butcher Bunch, that sort of put one foot off the bandwagon Saturday night?
Well, if they do, I mean, it's just such a small amount. Larry Fedora is the right coach at the right time for this school. He's going to be here for a long time.
Thank you very much.
The best thing about the guy is that he's straightforward. He's got tunnel vision. Whatever happened to the side of him or in back of him, that's somebody else's problem. He's going straight forward. Now, you look at the recruiting class that he signed up. None of those guys have paid any attention to the turmoil at Carolina if you look at how they're rated. So he's the guy. But to get his program off in the right start and actually, very importantly, to get a leg up on in-state recruiting, he's got to win that game today.
Stutz, I got a trivia question for you.
Uh-oh.
Okay, as of today, October 27th, 26th, whatever it is, since Larry Fedora left Hattiesburg, Mississippi, how many football games have the Golden Eagles won?
I don't know.
It's somewhere less than one. They are 0-6
really?
In the post-Fedora era.
Wow.
And their coach is one of the hot seat coaches.
I would say that it was a good time to get out of Dodge.
I think your buddy Richard Giannini must have known something.
I'd say the timing must have worked out really well for Coach Fedora on that one.
But Richard Giannini and Larry Fedora both got one-way tickets out of Hattiesburg, and it was Atlanta after Sherman when they left.
Hey, we don't hold that against him. We're coming back with more in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break. And we'll come back with the conclusion of today's adventure. This is The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee on WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz. We're broadcasting live at Southern Season University Mall. We're under the clock at the end of the mall. The Southern Season entrance. Come see us and then go to the game and watch Carolina and North Carolina State. You will hear it all on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Listen up, Carolina fans. Go for the goal line this season into Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Don't fumble with the never-ending home projects. Whether you're an experienced contractor or a novice do-it-yourselfer, get your jobs done right the first time with the guidance of our knowledgeable staff with decades of experience passed down from generation to generation. So come see us in Carver at 309 North Greensboro Street or call us at 919-942-3153. Check us out online at FitzLumber.com. Go Heels!
There's no such thing as a free lunch. We've all heard this before, but how does it relate to your bank? Harrington Bank is one of the only banks in the Triangle who truly provides free checking. Our competitors say free, but they require you to maintain a hefty balance or limit your transactions. When Harrington Bank says free, we mean free. Free personal checking, free business checking, no lengthy requirements. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn more. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Hi, I'm Scott Maitland, proprietor at Top of the Hill. As smooth as a Dre Bly interception and as sweet as a Carolina victory, Topo Vodka is the perfect complement to your Tar Heel tailgate and victory party. Handcrafted on Franklin Street from only local and organic wheat, Topo is truly the spirit of North Carolina. Ask for Topo Vodka in your local ABC store and find establishments everywhere. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and on the web at topodistillery.com. Drink local. Drink Topo Vodka, the spirit of North Carolina. Cheers.
You're listening to Carolina Football on 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
And it's a big rivalry game. That's been pointed out to me since, the first handshake when I took the job. Like I've said before, it's what makes college football so great. It's the fans and the pageantry, the regional rivalries, and this is a big game.
All right, back now. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Ryan Stutz, University Mall, Chapel Hill. Southern season, that's where we are on WCHL. A lot of ground to cover in this last segment here. And, Art, what are we going to start with?
Well, let's talk quickly about the BCS standings. Still 11 undefeated teams in the ninth week of the season, and Alabama still got to go to LSU next week between home games with also undefeated 7-0 Mississippi State tonight and then Texas A&M. Florida is 7-0 and undefeated, but they still have Missouri, Louisiana Lafayette, Jacksonville State before going to FSU. So they're not going to climb in the BCS standing. So Alabama, it's all about Alabama.
I'm going to share a hot tip with you guys. Everybody else tune us out. I'm just talking to Ron and Art here. If you got the college fund or the mortgage fund set aside, go to Vegas, go to the Sahara Sportsbook. The BCS game is going to be the Oregon State Beavers versus Rutgers.
Okay. I'm glad we don't have the betting the family
They're
jewels on
They're both undefeated. When the smoke clears, it's going to be the Beavers of Oregon State versus the Scarlet Knights.
All right, hot seat coaches. Jim Grobe's system, is it caught up with them? We know Spaziano at BC is gone, but his Jim Grobe system caught up with him. They got a whooping on national TV by Clemson the other
day. They did, but by this time of the year, they're playing walk-ons, and they're playing part of the bell choir at Wake Forest this time of year because they just get beat up. Unfortunately, we play them way too early in the year. You never want to play Wake Forest until late October.
So I do think Paul Johnson's safe. We agreed for another year, but I'll tell you.
No, we didn't agree. I think he's in trouble.
Well, Al Golden, Miami's – they're having a good season. He's out of there after this year because the NCAA.
But that's his choice.
Yeah, at his choice. He's going because the NCAA investigation.
So any school out there that wants a coach that wears a white shirt and a tie on the sidelines, Al Golden is available.
And nationally, all I can tell you is John L. Smith at Arkansas has moved out of Bobby Petrino's house. And so
he doesn't even have money to buy a motorcycle.
That leads me into my next question. Where's Butch going? Where's he going? Arkansas, Georgia, Tennessee, Auburn. What do you think?
Old Rocky Top. I think Jimma Sexton's going to have the butcher in Knoxville.
Wow. I don't think he's going to any of those schools. How's that?
You haven't been going to the Panthers.
I don't know where he's going, but he ain't going to the SEC.
He's going to be the new general manager of the Panthers.
Yeah. Okay, better question. Bobby Petrino will be coaching next year somewhere. With the recent revelations of what really happened with the Biker Babe at Arkansas, right, do you think there's a chance that Arkansas will rehire Bobby Petrino?
Jeff Long won't.
Yeah.
Arkansas might, but Jeff Long won't because he'll be gone if that happens.
All right, okay. All right, now we're down to the greatest Tar Heel contest ever. There are two players left, all right? Julius Peppers, Choo Choo Justice. Who are you taking?
boy, I'm still going
to. You're as old as Choo-Choo, so you might as well take
me
him.
Me and Choo-Choo and Art and I used to hang out at the Zoom Zoom room.
Leave Art out of this, will you?
Not that Art. Art Weiner, the other Art. The other Art. We used to hang out at the Zoom Zoom room and have cheeseburgers and porthouse rolls.
The Zoom
But anyway,
Zoom.
The okay. Zoom Zoom room.
And the skirt steak.
But, yeah, but he, it's two generational things. It's Choo-Choo, who was really part of a publicity campaign. If his name was still Charlie Justice, he'd have been forgotten 30 years ago. But they came up with a catchy name for him, and so he's Choo-Choo. And so he's remembered even by people who didn't remember him. And Julius Peppers would have been fine if they just hadn't let that transcript out. Ooh, it's kind of scary to think we're going to. Greatest football player.
Look,
was,
Nick.
Oh,
I don't think that has anything to do with his football.
Nickname film. Aside, have you seen the film of Choo-Choo swivel his hips against Texas? Have you seen that film?
Is this the one? Is this the same one of Babe Ruth hitting the home run?
He swivels his hip against Texas in 1940.
Swivels his hip.
I mean, he's unbelievable. Plus, he was a triple threat.
And
he ran the ball.
Doak Walker.
He passed the ball.
Line.
He caught the ball. He punted the ball. That's four. I guess he's a quadruple threat. So it's in my book, it's Choo-Choo Justice.
I think it's Choo-Choo Justice.
And they've also got a statue erected of him outside the stadium anyway.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that Julius can't sack Cam Newton five times tomorrow.
And the issue of Julius Peppers over LT is an interesting one because both of them kind of have some negatives attached to them. If I had in their prime, if I had to choose one of those two guys in their prime, I take LT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you would also take McCauley over Choo-Choo, which is because he's a buddy of yours. But I'm telling you, there was nobody like Choo-Choo from what I hear.
When I was born, I have a little sweater that was given to me that's the number 22, a blue sweater with a white 22, because that was Choo-Choo's number.
Are we ready? Are we ready for the two-minute drill?
Two-minute drill.
All right, two-minute drill, folks. What other two games of most interest to you today, Bob Lee?
Texas Tech and Kansas State. Kansas State's going to get into the BCS game if Rutgers doesn't. And then I'm going to pick Florida, Georgia, and Georgia's going to lose again because Georgia only wins like nine games every year, but they never win a big one. So Mark Rich is going to lose another one too at the world's greatest outdoor cocktail party, whatever. So Florida, Georgia, and Texas Tech, Kansas State.
World's greatest cocktail party in a monsoon. All right, my two games are number five Notre Dame at undefeated number eight Oklahoma. We recall what the Sooners did to Texas and Mack Brown. They have the Irish at home. The Irish are going down.
Do you remember when Terry Brennan took the Irish into Norman, Oklahoma, and beat Bud Wilkinson? Did your grandfather tell you about that one, Chance?
No.
Couldn't see over the other side of the field then either.
Exactly. But my other game is really interesting. 8-0 Ohio State goes to 5-2 Penn State, where Bill O'Brien has done a tremendous job.
My candidate for Coach of the Year.
After losing his first two games. And Braxton Miller, the dark horse candidate for Heisman for Ohio State, is going to play in that game. So that's
Could
my
Bill O'Brien be the first Coach of the Year who loses to Youngstown State at the beginning of the season?
Could be. All right.
All right, top Player of the Year candidate, folks. What do you think?
G-O-G-O-G-O-G-O.
G-O-G-O-G-O-G-O.
All right, next one.
Not much argument on that one. What about for the Heisman Trophy?
I think, you know, here's an interesting one, because K-State's Colin Klein went into West Virginia, killed them last week. Absolutely killed them. But if you look at the stats between Colin Klein and West Virginia's quarterback, right?
Right.
Right. It's not even close.
Do you think, though?
Geno Smith's stats are so much greater than Colin Klein, so how do you pick it?
Well, I guess Honey Badger's not eligible anymore, huh?
No.
Honey Badger is actually below the Baton Rouge jail now.
Smith
the day of the Honey Badger is gone.
Smith's thrown for twice as many passes, completed 74%, 26 TDs to 10 for Klein. So how do you pick the Heisman? Is it how your team does, like Dean Smith used to say, or is it how you do it?
I'm going with Kevin Klein on that one based on his work in the Big Chill. How many wins will the Panthers have this season? Quickly, guys. What do you think?
Over and under five.
There's one more somewhere, so they'll have two.
All right, Bob Lee, quick, your prediction for today's game.
Yep.
I had it down somewhere. I like 21-17 too, but I like the other way around.
Carolina.
The Fighting Fedorians break the streak.
All right. My prediction is I am really worried about it. I think the Tar Heels have to score 40 points to win today. If they score 40, they're going to be a winner. If they score less than 40, I'm afraid they're not going to win the game.
I agree with you, Art. I think we're going to have to score a lot of points. I say 42-28. North Carolina over North Carolina State. A lot of points on the board today. The scoreboard's going to be really busy. Keenan Stadium's going to be rocking. Carolina and North Carolina State coming up on WCHL. We'll see you next time on The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Stutz.